at rather will assist us to take a record in the proceedings of the meeting. Normally they enjoy themselves, assist us more on matters of subjects and the interpretation of the proceedings. But now they have got to record the actual deliberation of the meeting. Even the winners will also seek them to be correct. They will have to assist us with all the services that is required until the institution resolve the industrial action in the workers. Now, let me acknowledge the presence of the National Treasury, but also raise few remarks regarding the agenda of today's meeting. Honorable members will realize that the briefing on the appropriation and the development bank, we have said this is more of a preparatory work for the formal stage of the committee. Given that the program of Parliament between now and next week, Parliament will rise, but we give ourselves sufficient time to receive briefing from National Treasury on the deals, and on Friday we'll go into the formal stage of the committee where we shall be adopting dealing with this legislation for adoption. There's nothing that is stopping the committee from being proactive and dealing with the legislation that is before Parliament, the other house of Parliament. We know for a fact that it will be referred to us immediately passing that other house of Parliament. Now that's the idea. And the last item will be the report on the proposed division of revenue and conditional card allocation to provincial and local sphere. So do we agree, member, that we can proceed as planned? National Treasury here can handle the two items on the agenda, and we clarify ourselves with sufficient time until Friday to can consider formally this legislation. Honorable Terblage and Honorable Didier.
I just want to know, I see that on the program, you know, the program that they changed to accommodate all the different responsibilities. Regarding today's meeting, you know, it's on the program briefings on and informal consideration of the foreign clause. That explanation that you gave just now?
Yes, that's in order. That's in order, Honourable. Honourable
Chair. Thank you very much for your explanation. I also refer Honourable Members to the ATC board paper for the National Assembly, the 23rd of November, all the orders of the day, which will include the bills we are going to deal with now. So after adoption in the National Assembly this afternoon, it will immediately be referred to the NCP. It happens immediately. So I just want to reiterate what that person was.
Thanks, Honourable Members. Can I hear if there are any apologies? The acting we is Mr. Matashuri, so I expect you to say something.
No.
There's no apologies submitted, so much. I thought they submit apologies to Secretary of Apologies.
So we can only note that the Honourable Motar is outside the country on Parliament business, and the Honourable Motar Shipping is an acting whip. So we are expecting that we do not see Honourable Member from the EFF, and the Honourable Zimande join us.
Yes, Honourable Zimande, the indication from Honourable to my mind, I'm thinking of something. Honorable Zimande will be joining us. Honorable Makue will also be joining us for this in another meeting. The indications are that he will be joining us soon after the old reason sooner than to be that meeting.
No, thank you very much. Honorable Member, Honorable Makui is an alternate member from Gauteng. Given that Honorable Mutara is not here, Gauteng is relieved by Honorable Makuwe as an alternate member to the committee, so he will join us, indicated by the report of the committee. Thank you very much. And then can I give to National Treasury, because we'll deal with the, in a manner which you want to start, if we start first with the appropriations, the finance deal, on the agenda I think they are captured wrong. It's one day that appears here on the agenda, isn't it? Finance bill and the new development bank. Okay. I think National Treasury, you can do your introduction and take us through the briefing.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Dundu Mukhajan. I'm Deputy Director General responsible for public finance. I'm with Ms. Rua Bumendin, who is the Chief Director responsible for international economic relations. And she's going to be taking us through the new development bank special appropriations bill. Maybe I would suggest, Chair, that we start with that one because she will be leaving as soon as she has done. But maybe, I don't know, Chair, how you want to take it. Maybe we should, but see, after the agenda that she circulated, there's briefing of the two bills and then the discussions, number four, on the bill and the finance bill and the development bill. The idea that should we just discuss all and then at the end do, or should we do it each one? I don't know.
No, as you say, maybe after the presentation you can allow members to clarify themselves and raise questions. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Member, for the opportunity. I think you have the presentation before you, the New Development Bank Appropriations Bill. What I will do is just to do a brief introduction about what the New Development Bank is all about and the salient features of the agreement, and I will get to the bill. The New Development Bank was established by the BRICS countries, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This bank is a multilateral development bank that works like the rest of the World Bank and the African Development Bank, just to give a sense of what it is. And its purpose is to analyze alternatives of self-financing for development. In particular, what the New Development Bank will be concentrating on will be on financing for infrastructure in the BRICS Bank. So last year, during the BRICS summit in Fortaleza, Brazil, the leaders of the BRICS signed two agreements. One of them was the intergovernmental agreement, which they are all referred to as the founding document, so that needs to take you back, the intergovernmental agreement, and the other one is the articles of agreement. The articles of agreement will go step by step in terms of how the bank will function, the agreements in terms of membership, capital that is needed, manage the spend, the governance, shareholding, voting, and decision-making. Those are just the silent features of what you find in the ICOM agreement, and I'll go through each one of them just very briefly. In terms of the membership of this bank, for now, only the BRICS countries are the members of this bank. However, in the article, there is provision that when the time is right, the membership will be open to all the countries that are members of the United Nations. However, the BRICS countries will always hold a majority shareholding as a collective of this bank at 55%. The developing countries and the developed countries who will then join at the time, their membership is kept to ensure that no single developing country or developing countries who are not founding members of this bank will hold a majority shareholding than the founding members, which are the BRICS countries. Authorized capital is at $100 billion, and this actually just determines how big the bank, the bank will grow. When you look at institutions such as the World Bank, you'll find that they've got an authorized capital of in the region of about 450 US dollars. So that just gives the extent of how big the bank will be. The subscribed capital is 50%, and 50 billion, excuse me, and all the members have been given equal shareholding of 10 billion US dollars each. This 10 billion US dollars has a payable capital of 2 billion US dollars that will be paid over 7 installments, as well as the 80% callable capital. So the 80%, which is 8 billion US dollars, members do not pay for it upfront. That's money that will come through should the need arise, which is highly unlikely. So as I mentioned, the 2 billion will be paid over 7 installments. The first installment is the 150 million US dollars. These installments have been pre-agreed by all the members, and they are part of the articles. They are part of the articles of agreement. Shareholding, as I've mentioned, for now only the rich countries are members of this bank, and should the time come when other countries are invited to join the bank, the groups will always maintain the 55% shareholding. And I've already explained capping the shareholders of the non-founding members. Governance structure, the highest decision-making body of the new development bank is the Board of Governors, who are represented by the Ministers of Finance. Thereafter, you have the Board of Directors level, who are mandated by the Ministers of Finance or the Governors in this case to inform or work with management on how to run the bank. So they are the board that is the interface between the executive management and the physical heads who are the governors. What has also been agreed in the articles is that the board, there will be rotation amongst the Board of Governors, which are the members of the Ministers of Finance, there's an agreed schedule in the articles, as well as that rotation that goes with the directors themselves, as well as the president of the bank. India has taken the chair as the first president now, so then there's rotation, but at any given point you'll always be a board member. And then the last part, which is for the executive management of the bank, will be the four vice presidents who come from the other four countries of the BRICS, apart from the country that will be holding the presidency, which will be India in this case. Voting is proportional to the voting shares. As it is now, all the members have equal shareholding, so we all vote. We all vote the same, but there's different that those that are called outright majority in all details in the agreement, but basically just to make sure that one country does not hold the other into ransom, especially at the time when other members join. We wouldn't want the majority shareholder to hold the others not to be able to take the decision forward. But most, in terms of the Board of Governors, is by consensus, because those who are consulted by the appointed directors in terms of the decisions that they will want to take. So there's a little bit more detail in the agreement. I think members have in their text as well, the entire articles of agreement that have been signed. And these can be adjusted as and when it's necessary. The bank operates, and they will have to be signed off by the highest decision-making body, which will be the Board of Governors. So, back to the bank itself and the regional Africa Regional Center. If you recall, as well as the agreement that was reached in Fortaleza, the headquarters of the bank will be in Shanghai, China, and the Africa Regional Center, which is it's a regional center because it's not really a bank there, will be housed in Johannesburg. So there are certain agreements that were also reached with regards to how the Africa Regional Center shall be run. One of them would be that the Africa Regional Center has to open concurrently with the headquarters, and that there will be a special fund where all the members will contribute we contribute to, which will deal with project implementation, and China will be the largest contributor to the fund. What the bank is actually doing now, especially I'm talking about the board of directors right now, they are finalizing the actual mandate of this Africa Regional Center, because in the agreement, all other BRICS countries are eligible to have their own regional centers, but only when the need arises. So there's a need to streamline what this Africa Regional Center will do. Coming to the bill, why we are here today, there's a need to appropriate additional money in the 2015-2016 financial year by $150 million to the New Development Bank. This money was not budgeted for, the reason being that at the time when the budget process was concluded last year, the agreement had not been ratified by Parliament. This agreement was only ratified by this Parliament in June last year, when the agreement came into force in June this year, 2016. And the agreement came into force in July. By coming into force, I mean all the BRICS countries had ratified the agreement and they deposited their instruments of ratification with the Brazilian authorities, who were the presidents of the BRICS at the time. So what this means was that when the budget process was concluded, the money towards the BRICS bank or the New Development Bank had no legal standing to form part of the budget process. So the bill that we are tabling is to appropriate the amount equivalent to $150 million in rent out of the National Revenue Fund. And the proposed appropriation will be deficit neutral, because it's conditional to the national revenue getting funds from the sale of state assets. In this case, it's the sale of Vodacom for this financial year. Yeah, but future contributions towards the second installment and to the NDB is budgeted also. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. This is the presentation, and honorable members will recall we had the interaction with the DG of National Treasury, who introduced the draft of the bill and so forth. It's not the appropriation, the policy aspect why South Africa is taking this direction. We had a lengthy engagement. Now, this is the appropriation part of it to make it much more realizable, to make an allocation. Thank you very much for the presentation here. But it also helps us to make a reflection of the significance of this to the country. Thanks. I note the hands. Yes, you can comment, members. Honorable De Beer and Makube.
My question is 100% correct. Let's go back to May, June, when the National Treasury brings us on the agreement in terms of the establishment of the bank. This was captured in the briefing document at that stage. But we were told this appropriation is coming later. This is actually what is happening now. Because this all part of the initial agreement document. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. My question would be, the first one, under the African Regional Center, Romans 2, the last two words there talks about the bank's headquarters. Can I tell you to understand when this is going to be launched concurrently with the African Regional Center? Does it mean that the headquarters is going to be in Johannesburg as well, or would it be in China? My second question relates to the actual appropriation. The $150 million USDs that we're talking about and using would be shareholding in Vodacom for, would that cover the full 150 million, or would there be a need for also tapping into other resources? Thank you.
Thanks. Honorable Tariqi?
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I would do disservice to myself before I start your analysis. I have grown much enough to be an actor. I'm now a politician. That's why I'm in Parliament.
Chair, I was going to do something more.
To be
succeeded.
I will not leave
him. That's a long time.
I will never leave him.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Chair, I acknowledge the fact that we have been given this presentation. And quite extensively, like you have alluded to, the DG. Acknowledging the fact that we've got 55% of shareholding, so, and I change it that we've got equal shareholding. But then, the contradiction that comes into picture in terms of how I heard in your presentation is that China would be the greatest contributor. Now, what advantage does it have over all other BRICS countries? Because you can't just contribute so much money without an added advantage. Despite the fact that you have alluded to the fact that there's equal shareholding. Now, decisions will be taken on the basis of reaching consensus. It is not always the fact that people then reach consensus. And there must be deadlock mechanisms in terms of decision making if people do not reach consensus. And maybe if you can clarify that. Now, we also welcome the 150 million that has been million US dollars. This was presented to us, and we were told that that money is there. We have interrogated the report. Now is just the time for us, because the committee had the benefit to go through thoroughly in terms of this money and to the issue guarantee that money is there. It's just to be appropriated. How it is the function of this committee. For me, as I said, and the chief whip, because I don't call myself, I think it is proper, Chair, that we give a combination for this money to be allocated to be appropriated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Basuking. Chief Whip, the head chief whip, applied only in the house. In the bigger house, we'll have the chief whip. So, but thanks. Any further Honorable Daila?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to get clarity. Say, the president, the first president will be from India, if I'm correct. Now, it is going to rotate. That is the deputy president. What is the period that the first president is going to do? What's the period of the office of the first president? Can you just see us on the phone and then the $150 million, which is equivalent to 2.5 billion. Yeah. Million. Yeah, which is equivalent to 2.1 billion rand. It's going to be from the Vodacom shares. But I told them, when was the next payment? The next $150 million. When will that be? Is next year or the year after? When will it be? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Isaac. I pretend as if you don't think you should be in here, so please, your comment is
well. Some issues is still have no comment. Let's just move along and concentrate on business. Chairperson, through you, perhaps the lady that's been done the presentation, just two things. Under the slide or section where you talk of the Africa Regional Center and the mention of a special fund will be created within the bank at the earliest occasion. I just wanted to check, is there any timeline in terms of earliest occasion? And then the second question I wanted to just ask, what are the implications, Chairperson, in the event of a member country defaulting on the arrangements going forward in terms of the contribution? What are the implications in terms of the agreement? I just wanted to get some clarity on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thanks. I think I'll give it to Ngato Nyabuyelo and the Democratian to respond. Am I right when you're saying it's Vumendi?
Yes.
Okay.
Vumendi.
Okay. Oh, well, Gaila. Thanks much.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. In terms of the Johannesburg and Shanghai, the headquarters of the New Development Bank will be in Shanghai. In Johannesburg, the Africa Regional Center, that's where it will be. So they are not at the same level, if I should say. The Africa Regional Center is like a subsidiary of the actual bank, which will be in Shanghai. And in terms of the 55% shareholding and equal shareholding and so forth, for now, the bank has a subscribed capital of $50 billion. There's equal shareholding. Each member has been allocated $10 billion each, and the $2 billion of that is what is required as paid-in capital. So there is equal shareholding. You own 20% of the bank. The 55% comes in place when the BRICS countries decide to invite other countries to be members of this bank. So as we invite countries, that we will always ensure that the BRIC countries will at the least own 55% of the bank. We always want the BRIC countries to be the majority shareholder. So that's what it essentially that means. In terms of the special funds, China being the greatest contributor, I guess one would say when the agreement was signed last year, part of the concession was looking at Sub-Saharan Africa and the need and why the projects are bankable. There was a need that is money that needed for project preparation. And the countries agreed that to kick off that work, we will have a special fund that will look into that. And China offered to be the biggest contributor to that particular fund. In terms of at the earliest, the time frame that one of the members asked when the special fund will be created, from the negotiations, we'd want the special fund to be created at the time when the Africa Regional Center is up and going. That is, when the head of the Africa Regional Center is appointed, because they will be working with the special fund to do all the project preparation that the ARC is in the position to do. Yes, most of the agreements will be by consensus at the board of governors level, that is at the ministers of finance, and at the directors level, it will be by majority. So in a way, what also applies is if there is no consensus, even at the board of directors level, it depends on what issue is being debated upon. There are certain issues that have been there's been agreement in the articles of agreement to say for us to get in the absence of a consensus, for us to implement the decision, we just need just majority. On very, very big issues, we need super majority. The super majority won't just be three countries against two, it will be four countries against one. So there are those checks and balances that have been put in place. on the term of the president. The term of the president is 5 years and is non-renewable, and the rotation schedule has been agreed to by the members. And the last question, second last question, on implications if the member defaults. Firstly, it will raise issues amongst the BRICS countries that there is lack of trust because we are not honoring our international agreement as South Africa. Secondly, the BRICS countries have agreed that we would want the bank to be a AAA rating bank such that we can be able to source funding from international markets at good rates. So this will certainly affect how the rating agencies will rate the bank, because it seems that the members are not honoring their obligation or their agreement in terms of how and when they will pay. So I will leave it to
them. No, members, this was a big issue for us before we arrived at the decision to use the sale of Vodacom shares to fund. We did ask ourselves as to what would it mean if we cannot even honor our first installment of 150. And then that was something that really informed us and make sure that we have to go an extra mile in getting the 150. And we're fortunate now that at the time, Vodacom shares, proceeds, sale of Vodacom share proceeds, was enough for us to meet the two plus billion that's available. Now, the question is, obviously, you've got an exchange rate that's fluctuating every time. You remember during MTVP, it was 2 billion and 19, whatever. It was just around 2 billion. Now it's about 2.1. But the same in terms of the spot price is in our favor. At what point is the Vodacom share? Because if you remember, it was 10 billion and 10, and then the last thing in terms of how the money is coming through. So again, it is fluctuating around between 25, 26, 27 billion. So it gives us space currently for us to be able to afford the 2.1 billion as per the current exchange rate. Now, in terms of the question, you answer the question as to when will the second installment, next installment be due?
Okay. That is, according to the agreement, 18 months after the agreement came into force. So that makes it the following 2017 January, because the first installment is 6 months after, and then 18 months.
And the natural question then becomes, is this in the framework? Is this provided for? And I think the last slide just captures that, where we say the funding beyond the 150 will go through the normal budget framework, and it will be considered within the next budget cycle in terms of whether we have money or not, and that will be based on obviously priorities. Thank you, Chair. I think that takes care of all the questions. I don't see if members have got other questions to follow.
Thanks, sir. Okay, there's a follow-up on our side.
Chair, thank you again for the opportunity. You know, what is not being pessimistic, because at the end of the day, you know, we're an African nation having to obviously and we're an emerging economy, so obviously we have to find ways and means to sustain ourselves going forward in terms of our infrastructure program, etc. But it is a huge matter of concern, and perhaps, you know, it's just worth a mention that, you know, today we've got the sale of the Vodacom shares, okay, which is obviously, you know, a sale of our very strong asset that we currently have, which we're able to tap into. Now, obviously, what could we have done with the sale of our Vodacom shares locally? Obviously, I mean, common sense is we have done a lot with the issues currently facing us. But the fact that the contingency levels are totally being wiped out now, there's a worrying factor that, and I'm mentioning it now because perhaps it's been just on record, that you know, January 2017 is like around the corner, 13 months away down the line, 14 months down the line. Yes, we have budget in terms of how to raise the next tranche. But with the eroding tax base, and obviously, you know, facing the economic scenario that we're facing in terms of our GDP, It is a matter of huge concern that should we not be able to afford the next crunch in 13 months from now, as you mentioned. Where to? What is the next piece of asset that we're going to lend claim to and continuously dilapidate our balance sheet to a level where, and I'm not afraid, you know, I'm not being pessimistic, as I said, you know, but I'm just beginning to get afraid that we're really wiping out our asset base in terms of our contingency levels, and tomorrow, or next month, or 3 months from now, this country has to face a national disaster. Are we financially by the means to have to contain it? I just wanted to put that on the table, because it is a huge matter of concern that in 13 months' time, we're going to have to fund the second tranche, and with the current exchange rates that are moving. I don't know, it's just a huge matter of concern that our balance sheet is being eroded in terms of our capital asset base. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks. Also, the larger part of the comment by Honorable Issa, which is quite useful to address such fears, but Madam Treasurer, you welcome comment if you want to.
No, I think we welcome the comment, and it's something that obviously we are, you know, it's at the back of our mind all the time, and we, you know, I think the DG might have said to you when he was here that we just don't want to be counted as having been around the table when the BRICS bank was established. We want to be key players. We want to use the bank to our advantage. We want to access resources that the bank will offer. We want to boost our infrastructure programs. And coupled with that, obviously I think like any other CFO would do, would obviously balance all of those in one pot and see, is it cheaper to build this dam through the BRICS bank, or is it better to use the fiscal current taxes to build the same bridge? How best can we leverage this money that we have for other banks? So these are options and scenarios that we're painting all the time, and I think the comment is well taken, and obviously in our, you know, thinking through, we'll certainly make sure that we take another ESAP comment into consideration. Thanks.
Then, Zerba, you want a parting shot before you go?
No.
Okay. All right. Then, thanks very much, Zerba and Mr. Mukhajan for the briefing. I think these are bold initiatives that the country is taking, and really, ambitious plans of the country to grow and develop our economy. And I think also within the evolving global environment, I think South Africa will always position itself according to ensure that the development needs and interests of the people are taken care of. So we're looking forward that this initiative is yet to yield results of a greater proportion for our development agenda, not only the country but the rest of the continent. So thank you very much for the briefing. Thanks. You leave at the time when you're supposed to. If you decide between yourself and Mr. Demokraja, just look like you're already in. Okay. Then just go to the appropriations then.
A lot also depends national treasury. A lot also depends if Honorable Mohai becomes the next Minister of Finance.
I think the Minister of Finance has sent a strong delegation to Prefa. Yeah. That indicates how solid the country is. Yeah, here on behalf of the Minister of Finance. So, yes, thanks.
No, thank you very much.
We have a solid draft my video, please.
We will.
Thanks.
I will start with the finance bill and on the president. Nico, did you? The one on the presidency and the presidency, women, and children, and children. It's titled Briefing to the Select Committee on Appropriations and Finance, the Presidency and the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Yes. No, thank you very much, members. Now, so this IRP has got four departments that it's dealing with, and it aims, obviously, we recommend to Parliament that Parliament authorizes the expenditure, unauthorized expenditure experience from around 2008-09 to 2010-2012. And all in all, there's about 110 million involved in all of these four departments: Presidency, Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, Trade and Industry, and Social Development. So currently, all members are starting with this one. Now, as you all know, the bill is aimed at implementing the recommendations of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts on authorization and funding mechanism. And these recommendations were adopted in the National Assembly on the 23rd of June. And the finance bill, as it currently is providing authorization of national government unauthorized spending arising from 2004-05 to 2010-11 financial years. And it is outlined, the provisions of which are in Section 34, 1A and 1B of the TFMA of 1989. Now, if you look at slide 5, we look at unauthorized expenditure for the presidency amounting about 14.5 million. And slide 6 explains why the presidency in that financial year experienced unauthorized spending. The presidency overspent 08-09 budget by 360 million. Of 316 by 14.5 or 4.6%. This was in respect of expenditure incurred for the hosting of national orders and award ceremony, the legal fees, surplus subsistence and labor expenses incurred for the mediation in Zimbabwe, leave gratuity payment made to former deputy president, and the hosting of the National Disability Summit, United Nations Convention, and the creation of additional ministries in the presidency. Now, in particular, that department of the reference is mainly to the Department of Government and Monitoring and Evaluation at that time, because it was created immediately after a budget process was undertaken. So in 2010-2011, budget of 800 million was exceeded or overspent by 3.5% to 28.4 million. And again, the explanation is indicated in the different bullets in slide 8. It's accrual carried forward from 9-10 financial year, creation of additional ministries for planning, performance and evaluation, legal fees again, surplus subsistence due to international commitments by the principals in conflict resolution process on the continent which were not planned for and fell outside the adjustment budget process. Computer services to address additional capacity requirements emanating from new ministries, as well as costs relating to the presidential hotline, leave gratuities, obligations and municipal transfers for VIC license. Now, as it's natural, with the kind of an onward continuous engagement that we have with presidency and all departments on a quarterly basis, on a monthly basis, where our teams go and engage with them, and these issues were outlined, the concerns that we had around training, because the categories of these issues fall into four categories: proper planning, and obviously anticipation, and making sure that there's reprioritization where need be, are issues that we brought to the attention of the presidency at the time in order to make sure that the situation doesn't reoccur. So insofar as the current the presidency budget or request approval of the unauthorized spending, it ends there in slide number 8. I don't know if I have to go through to women, children, people with disabilities.
I think so, yes.
Okay. Now, saying here, we see the department overspent the budget by 3.8 million or 3.7 million. Now, there were always challenges right at the beginning in terms of creating a new department. It wouldn't have been clear whether need what exactly the need was, or what budget estimates and levels should we be allocating to this department. So it was clear right at the beginning that this department was in one way or other going to understand, because at the time it was not clear to what their programs were going to be, and they were starting from a zero basis, if you think about it, because some of these were just programs within the presidency at the time. Our standing with the department has been and was always that they should manage the treasures, but noting at the beginning that resources might not be enough, that they should spend within limits. But unfortunately, the 107 or 106 million of that 10-11 financial year was overspent by 4%. And the sources of budget pressures leading to the unauthorized spending was as follows: 674,000 for international travel and accommodation, 2.6 million for the celebration of National Women's Day, and about 460 million for telecommunications related expenses. Now, SCOBA at the time has recommended that another spending be financed as a direct charge against the national revenue. It will also be noted that department in the form of women, children, and people with disabilities does no longer exist, and that all the additional funding recommended to SCOBA should be allocated to the new Department of Women, as it is. So, for the two departments, that's what we recommend based on the reasons that have been outlined. But I can again say in relation to the Department of Women that the same issues have been addressed, and emphasizing spending in budget and also emphasizing the need to plan and budget appropriate. So I can carry on with the next department, social grants, social development department.
Yeah, each member. You want anything, members, on the third one? Presidency and presidency? Okay, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. The DDG explained to us, how it happened that overspend. I'm just concerned, over expenditure should, one must just be mindful of the fact that this is a presidency. And, one would think and hope that people responsible there should, deal with money in a very responsible way. Looking at, for instance, if you go now to the computer equipment and stuff that was used or needed, additional things that they needed, can it really be regarded as unforeseen, expenses and stuff? I think, that is something that can be planned properly. And I'm just concerned that, and I'm not saying that's the case, please. I'm just concerned that, our people responsible there for the accounting officers themselves, that they can think this is the presidency and, if we overspend, it's going to be approved. And I think that they must really set an example. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Douglas. I think you should note the question and then proceed with social grants and then take us to the other, so that then you relate to these questions, all of them. Thanks,
thank you.
I think that's a better
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to the presentation of Title Select Committee on Appropriations, Social Grants, Financial Year 7 and 8. Now, slide 2. In financial year 7 and 8, Department of Social Development underspent by almost 37 million overall. Now, however, insofar as the comprehensive social security program, there was overspending of about 2.4 million. This was driven by overspending on social grants in particular. And the amount was almost 0.04% of the budget. Slide 3, due to the underspending in other sub-programs in Program 2, the total underspending amounts to 24 million, as I said. In 7-8, the social assistance and social education was specifically and exclusively appropriated through the appropriation act of 7 and 9, and 8 financial year. And due to this classification, environment rules could not be applied to reduce the social grant spending. Therefore, even though there was an overall underspending against the growth, and overspending of 24 against Program 2 budget, amounts to 26.7 million. Now, if you look at that table, 26.17 million, that table clearly shows that the program 2, which is social assistance transfers, the social grants were overspent by 26.2 million. And the overspending was mainly for old age, foster care, dependency and child support grants. The main driver was child support grants. And the main reason that year was because of the age extension and in the policy that was adopted, increasing the age from 11 years to 14 years old. And hence, in those years, the population for the child support grant increased by almost 2.9 million. This led to lots of fluctuations and unpredictability in grant beneficiaries, because if you remember, the department then went on a drive to actually conscientize South Africans about this and about eligibility, that drove the numbers up. 2.2 million additional child support grant beneficiaries came onto the system in the year 5 and 6 and 6 and 7. And in 7 and 8, we saw again a continuous increase of about 360,000 that came into the system. The take-up rate in 7 and 8 was almost 82%, and the highest since 2004 until around 2013-14. CSE take-up rate in the previous years, as indicated in the table there, was from around 7.71% to around 80% in the last year. 7 and 8, as we say, there was an anomaly of a year, and that was as a result of the increased kind of take-up that as we saw, and obviously making South Africans more aware as to the new age restrictions that were set. Now, further, there were lots of fluctuations in reported child support grant beneficiaries, and this, as you all know, that we use the in-year monitoring to actually see the take-up on a monthly basis that obviously inform the kind of projections that must be in place. And we saw there was need, in some cases, actually to start balancing out the take-up, and that's why 166 million was paid back to Eastern Cape and Free State in that financial year. As we all know, again, the social grant program is demand-driven. Behavioral aspects of the program makes it very, very unpredictable. And apart from behavior related to take up social grants, and there's back pay that accumulates those that don't take up their allocations in a particular month, the application complexities and external risks. And if we factor all of these into projections, that changes the feature and the kind of projections that we put in place. In our modeling, we put a variation of 1%, and which is generally acceptable. An overspending of that financial year against a budget of 63 billion, as we say, is 0.004%. Now, as I said at the beginning, there are various other processes that we started embarking on to make sure that this doesn't happen. And we cannot directly say that it is because of negligence, because of lack of oversight, and we then came to a conclusion that it cannot be recovered from any person. And as per section 34.1, we request that the direct over expenditure be charged a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund, and this must also be approved through funding. Now, what have we done after realizing all the take-up and the increases? We have a stakeholder forum between ourselves and Department of Social Development and SASA. We meet all the time. We run various modules independent from each other so that we make sure that our grant projection and take-up rate is kind of coming in line with each other. So in this way, what it does, it actually assists by estimating almost properly and making sure that we don't under over project. We do the model updates every month. We do quarterly reports every various intervals. And what we've also built in is the adjustment factor that is incorporated in the module, so that we try and accommodate non-demographic driven factors such as vacay and other administrative complexities that I mentioned earlier. Because in some cases, as I said, it's a matter of funds that are not properly or processed speedily, and where backup pay is needed, or where in one particular month beneficiaries did not take their or did not come and collect their grant. So as a result, that adjustment factor assists us to be almost to a key point, because as you all know, these expenditures are not that you don't have control, that we have control over, but if the numbers increase one way or the other, we will report by law to pay. So as a result, it's also in our interest to make sure that these projections are almost to the T, and then that's why we have built some of those additional systems in place. So as I'm saying, in 7 and 8, the lessons that we learned and the take-up and the change in the charter of grant, we actually have moved and built on that. But however, the over-expenditure of 26 million that year was very, very difficult to address. So that's why we're asking that the charge be a charge against the National Revenue Fund. I will then proceed to DCI, unauthorized expenditure. Now, in DCR, there are four broad categories of unauthorized expenditure. One is around compensation in terms of the bilateral investment treaties. Second is around staff debt written off of about half a million. General export incentives debt written off, 31 million, and other smaller debts of about 200,000. The total there is about 37.3 million. And we've always argued that the unauthorized spending was beyond the department's reasonable control, and FOPA also recommended that the direct charge against the National Revenue Fund be made. Now, insofar as compensation for bilateral investment treaties, DTI, or the trade industry, is the custodian of these VITs. Therefore, rulings against the state are paid from DTI allocation. Pumlani Lodge argued that the value of their investment declined because of high time rates. Now, at the time, Pumlani lodged a claim against DTI, and the court ruled in favor, and that's why a payment had to be made of about 6.1 million to Pumlani Lodge as a direct claim against a ruling of the state at the time. The tribunal found the state liable and awarded damages of 6.5 million. DTI finally paid out 15 million, which includes the award interest and all the legal fees associated with this. And the award was paid from voter funds. Interest was the unauthorized amount of about 6.1 million. And that's what we've been putting forward as an unauthorized spending that must be written off. Staff departments, debt, that must be written off. This relates to salary overpayments and bursary debts. These, according to the department, could not be recovered because staff had resigned or retired. The debts were written off because the debtors could not be traced. Recovery would be uneconomical and it would cause undue hardship. Now, as we all know, I mean, this is not an explanation that we easily accepted or just took easy with the department. We had to force the department to relook at all their policies, HR policies, bursary policies, and all other related policies in order to ensure that those kind of situations don't occur in the future. So there are policy changes that they introduced that actually aim at ensuring that the recovery of such major debt impairments are addressed. And insofar as general export incentive scheme, this, as we all know, is used to boost exports and evade sanctions. The scheme at the time has documentary requirements, loose documentary requirements, requires them to keep records for 5 years and then they could be disposed of. And the subsequent audit found that claiming, overclaiming and raised debtors. 22 debtors did not repay the full amount and debts were written off as unauthorized spending. 14 settlement offers accepted for a lesser amount to avoid litigation. 5 companies could not be traced. 2 companies had no assets. And now, we have a list of all of those companies and we can make it available if the members so wish, outlining what each claim was and what the issue pertaining to each one of those issues that fall under the General Export Incentive Scheme, and we can make it available if it's detailed enough. That is, so far as other departments are concerned, is that a dismissed DTI official won a case against the DTI at the CCMA. 25,000 rands were paid off as settlement, 15,000 rands to the South African Labour Market and Allied Workers Union, and 10,000 to the General Public Service Bargaining Council. Now, Chair, this now sums all of the components of this finance bill that you're presenting, and it makes up the 37.3 million that is a summary of an authorized expenditure that you recommend that it be dealt with. On that note, Chair, then I'll be prepared to take questions from members.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think we should proceed, honorable members, with just let's indicate areas which need clarification from the presentation and question. We are done the presidency, let's go social card, and then DGI. Or you want to speak, just we'll sort them out when you know. Okay. All in the basket. Can be shifted. All right. Let me, Honorable Chairman, the Democratic, and Honorable DPL, Honorable Issa.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I was just wondering if the DDG can maybe give us some indication. Okay, obviously social grants are very important and we certainly support that. But I was just worried about what is the prevalence of host beneficiaries. You know, because obviously I think that there is something like that. Also, we know what is the position in other areas. But if the DGG can just maybe give us some indication of if there is such a thing, and if so, then how can we maybe, you know, manage that down? Thank you, sir.
Thanks. No, Chair, money is not just a big issue. I just want to maybe perhaps to start by welcoming the presentation and ask a question in relation to the presidency, that document, and with, in relation to the unauthorized expenditure. You know, with my little knowledge, unlike in other areas where the new department created and put there without programs, but the deputy president, this leaf graduate that was saying, to me, for it to be an authorized raises quite a number of questions, because it would fall in the category of the COE. Where there is indeed. Now, I do not understand. Make me understand. Why is it unauthorized, this payment that was made to the GP? For you to have unauthorized SSS. Just make me understand. Don't go to the details anymore. Make me understand. I don't understand.
Thank you, Honorable Dubier.
Chairperson, in the documents on the presidency in the table, there's a word other with a star. Now, when the Auditor General do an audit on the department, the word other is a very dangerous word in financial statements. Actually, it should not be there. It has to be unpacked, although in this case it's only R1 million, but the word other is a dangerous word. Let's take that back to the Treasury. That's how I was taught by Shahid Faki to 2003 at the University of Wax. Chairperson, the other thing is that the Treasury is meeting on a quarterly basis with these departments. In your engagement, can you see there's progress, or is the same thing repeating itself every quarter, and at the end of the year, blah blah blah, you put everything together, come to Parliament, come and approve on all sides of expenditure. Is there progress? How do you measure this one? The first thing, Chair, it's a basic thing in finance. It's a cash flow statement on a 30-day basis. That's how you monitor your spending. They call it, what's called cash flow statement. That's why it's still one. That you can see where is your block going to. It's a crucial factor on a 30-day basis. Yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Isaac. On your cover.
Relax.
Oh, not
Calm down.
You know, I always give you more time.
Thank you, I'm very grateful. You have to give lots of time. You know, I look at these numbers here. And then we want to speak about it, and the general impression is that, you know, this individual character has been pessimistic or being negative. It's just not that. It's just not that. It's, you come here, you throw figures at me of 2008, 2009, and when I go to the next page of the child support grant, I see 2006, 2007, 2008. I think, geez, these numbers are like six, seven years old. What kind of money? So I don't know. If you come to the third report on the presidency, yeah, let's just start on the presidency, let's start with the first one, sorry, before we get all the facts on the melody. Appropriations, why was it on the presidency? Had a tema. One on the presidency. That's the woman one. Yeah. No, I'm just trying to get my facts. Here we are, this is the one, yes. Sorry, I apologize, Jefferson. On page 6, what is it, slide, page 6, the bottom slide, 2008-09, unauthorized expenditure of the presidency. Hosting of the National Disability Summit, United Nations Conventions, and creation of additional ministries in the presidency. Through you, Jefferson, and with due respect, who advises the presidency in terms of the creation of these ministries and bloated sort of ministries? I mean, it's obviously having a huge financial impact on us, and we're beginning to see it biting back at us. Who does the buck stop with? Who advises about all these additional ministries? Because, quite frankly, if you know, my question automatically goes into, in other countries, I would like to know, for example, in which ministries are these women, children, and people with disabilities, in which ministries are they lost in or hosted? I don't believe that it is the norm internationally that, you know, you have so many different ministries that's costing us billions. But if you come to the slide on page 9, 2010-11 authorized expenditure for the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. That if you look at these numbers, with due respect, who authorizes these expenditures? Who does the buck stop? Who at the end of the day takes liability for this? Because we can't just carry on year in and year out condoning unauthorized and wasteful expenditure and the buck doesn't stop with somebody. And Chairperson, am I allowed to go to the others now and finish up? Or?
Yeah,
I'll finish up. Okay, good. If we can go on to the one on the Senate Committee on Appropriations, that is the social grounds one. Sorry, but I'm on page 4, that is the first page. If I'm going too fast, just tell me to slow down. It says page 4, issue, brief, continue. Please explain to me, or make me understand, like Honorable Professor Peter said, the middle paragraph. Due to this classification, violent rules could not be applied to reduce the social ground overspending. Please explain to me, I'm trying to just grasp the terms of that. And then, on the same slide, there was a question of, where you say, the amount classified as unauthorized expenditure for 2007-08 financial years is 26.17 million. Now, we're talking of figures going back something like 7 years, 8 years. And now, you know, the National Service Treasury have to contend with it to make its books balance out. We're having to approve numbers here and figures. I don't know how personally to digest this. On the same page, 2.2 million additional CC beneficiaries came onto the system over the course of 2005-06 and 2006-07. What is the future here? Are we really going to continuously be a social state, social grants that we're going to continue creating and just, you know, we're not taking care of the whole world? And then, Chairperson, I'm going to move to the next one and then I'll be done. again ask Harry this question. What are the latest numbers? These numbers I'm looking at are some 7 years old. Quarterly expenditure reports, I got a comment here. How serious are these reports taken? I think the Honourable alluded to it in his comments. How serious are these quarterly expenditure reports taken? Or is it just a meeting? Yes, we had the meeting, we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Okay, we've had our quarterly meeting, the job done. And then on the last one, DTI unauthorized expenditure. You know, when you look at interest was the unauthorized amount of 6.1 million rand on a claim of Puma landlords. Now here is a perfect example of poor business decision making. Again, Chairperson, I must come back to the question, who does the buck stop? Who takes the hassle for this? Surely, I mean, somebody has a sense of responsibility here and is being paid to manage this department. Who does the buck stop with here? Staff is written off. Salary overpayments. Salary overpayments. Well, I wouldn't mind a salary overpayment. How many just doesn't make businesses? Who does the buck stop with again here? Is there something wrong with the quality of individual that we have running these departments, or is it something more than that? Debts were written off because debtors could not be paid. Recovery would be uneconomical. Recovery would cause undue hardship. Recovery would cause undue hardship. Please explain. Yeah. General export incentive scheme. 22 debtors did not repay the full amount in debts were written off. Unauthorized expenditure. 14 settlement offers accepted for a lesser amount to avoid litigation. 5 companies not betrayed, 2 companies admitted. Again, with due respect, sirs, who does the buck stop with? Who takes responsibility for this? Other debts. 10,000 rand to the General Public Service Sectoral Bargaining Council. I don't know. Maybe I need to get it. Who is this General Public Service Sectoral Bargaining Council? So, citizen, here, you know, the point I'm trying to drive at is that sometime or the other, we've got to take a stand and begin to send the message that either we have the right quality of individuals that are running the departments and that are qualified to make quality business decisions, with the responsibility of the buck stops with somebody. Because at the end of the day, costing this country billions, and we are having to rubber stamp 6 years here, 6, 7 years old. So yeah, I raised a few questions and maybe I could be educated. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much. I know that Honorable Gayla, Honorable Zimande, you will indicate if you would like to make a comment. And then we'll have Honorable Makhu. Honorable Jay. Honorable Zimande, okay, welcome.
No, okay. I think mine is just a clarification question on the presidency. The 2.5 million for celebration of the National Women's Day, well, that's not budget of what happened there. Just explain that. Was it something that was not budgeted for? And then secondly, on the social grant, if my memory serves me right, during those years, there were a lot of illegal activities happening. One of those I remember in the East Cape was kids who were not supposed to be registered, which they call it Kosaim Bombos, and also money stipend by civil service. Would you know if
there are Bombos in Sorat?
Bombos is 25 liter where they carry 25 liter and they're there. They say they got a baby. But there's still a worse one which will embarrass the committee. I would like to speak about it. They put their wrong fingerprints. I think you know about that one as well. I'm not going to teach it in a 12 percent. But we'll let and then also civil servants who illegally are getting this grant. Would you know as a treasurer, did that money, because I know some of them are caught, was that money returned back to the revenue fund, to the coffers of the state, or not? If it was, can you just give us a test on this? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Bela. Honorable Makua.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to express appreciation for the presentation and work that has been done. My first is on the President of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Honorable Louis asked me to draw your attention to on the page that deals with people with disabilities in particular. That 5.6 million that was understand that for an allocation of 8.5 million. To just say that, I think it would help the committee if when Treasury picks up these things, they bring it to the committee's attention early so that we can address it, because it goes directly, I wasn't here at that time, but if we look at it now, we see that we prioritize that sector of society. And if a department understands like that, it would be helpful to ensure that mitigating action is taken, not preventive action, mitigating action to deal with that. That is my one comment. My second one is on the one that relates to the social grants. Just a question there, on slide 5, you're talking about the last sentence there. You say, additionally, 166 million was backpacked to Eastern Cape and Eastern. Now, I immediately read it as paid back. That is backpaid. Can you help us just understand what the government backpaid means that? I interpret it to mean that they have spent the money, they have overspent, and we have to then bail them out. To use that term. My final and last one, Chair, is on the DTI, which you will understand my passion with, because I also chair that select committee. And maybe help the DDG say that on the question of compensation for bits, we are introducing legislation now to prevent that. We are moving away from bits. But you may not say anything about you. You know that what's happening is that that bill that we're looking at is the promotion and protection of investment in which we incorporated that. I'm worried about only big amounts in DTI, and we're talking here about the 15.7 million. Now, having had a presentation just yesterday from the present DG on that, trying to convince us why the promotion and the protection of investment is important, I want to support DG and say that at that time, through you, Chair, the Honourable Isaac, there was very little that we can do because it wasn't law. So we had to operate within the confines of the law. That's why we came on the bill now. And we're not doing it for South Africa only, but also in the SACA region. We're looking at promoting it. A month ago, the Ministers of Finance met in Addis, where they looked at this type of arrangement as well. My final point that too would then be, Chair, to just talk about the Now, let me leave it at that. Let me leave it at this question. Because the other ones are too small to really talk about them. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Honorable Imanda, you want to comment?
No.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable.
I have comments. I'll comment after the response, some of them.
After the response, the time the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, the chair, the only one previous after the response is to see what next. But, okay, let me say this before. The DDG, I think all the members have raised specific questions. Of course, one thing that we not have a benefit of in the NGOP is the structured public accounts committee. So issues that were handled because the what is it after effect issues that were handled a long time. There's normally we relate them more in especially in provincial reports, large extent and so forth, and the auditor general when we relate to the AG's office. But there's no structural mechanism really to deal with those issues. Just to increase our information. So we I know that in some of the areas that corrective measures that you already have pointed out when you're responding to some other area. But the point I want to make, of course we know that the president constitutes cabinet and this exercise after every regular election, every 5 years, that exercise goes through and based on what balance of evidence the president may increase the size or constitute the cabinet whatever size. But the most important thing that I like in the current arrangement of the executive council that is considered by the president is that there's monitoring and evaluation department which in my view reinforces or should reinforce the work of national treasurer. In many ways, DDG, I'm just inviting you to comment maybe in a future process. Are we going to, because we want to work with National Treasure for qualitative improvement with regard to issues budgeting. Understanding it's not an issue really that it bears when the department understands, when the priorities are clearing, that money can be committed. So all what they're saying, I think, today, unforeseen and unavoidable should be exactly that, unforeseen and unavoidable. So given the current economic environment, when we do adjustments, we should really speak to the realities of the situation. So I think to some extent, some frustrating members have comments based on frustration that some other issues could have been dealt with differently. So we can give you the question that members have raised.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think the comments that you have made assist a great deal. And maybe just a quick background. Financial management generally public in government moves a long way. I mean, if one has to recall what kind of work we are worried about in, say, around 98, 99 when I joined the Treasury and things that we deal with now are totally different. Actually, it's encouraging and one feels good. They're coming where we came from in 1998, 1999 to where we are today. On a number of issues that members are raising, I'm comfortable. And the question that says, are you comfortable? Do you see any change in your weekly, in your monthly and quarterly engagement? I think the question, the answer directly there is a big yes. From where one knows where it was kind of difficult to even have a conversation because there were no tools to actually engage each other on. In the early 2000s, we developed the in-year monitoring, IYM, where departments, including provincial departments, would take us through the amount that we have spent, the projections, and we are working on the cash flow. But we all know that what they used to do, departments mainly, was to look at the total budget, reduce actual spending for the first 2 months of financial year, and the other 10 months, just take the number and divide by 10, and that is the projection. And then we'll sit with them like this, and then start asking them questions. When do you pay bonuses? Then they answer, no, we pay bonuses in July. So does it mean, but you look at your July personal figure, then they look at it. Does it mean that in that month, your July and August numbers should be the same, or one should change? because you are paying a little bit more because that month you're paying bonuses. Then they said yes. Then the conversation that takes one way or the other to actually empower one another in basics. We started with basic things like that to actually get people to think that when you put a report, an initial report together, it must make sense to you. Use it as a management tool. But all of that was foreign if you think about where it comes from. Now, again, if one has to look at where we are now, it is pretty encouraging that there is move and understanding as what exactly is expected of us to run things in a proper way. Now, there are a lot of questions, whether in presidency or in DTI, for us here is basic things. How can you say you cannot raise an individual? Where is the accountability line? The PFMA is clear in terms of where accountability lies, both at executive level and at administrative level, who's the accounting officer, what's the role of a GC in the department, and the role of a finance director or CFO in the department. And again, it's obvious where it sits, but in other departments where there's low capacity or there was low capacity, some of these things were kind of difficult to get. And also getting the accounting officers to ask the right questions. I'm not saying in treasury things are different, but I mean, the kind of reports or kind of engagements that we have at our own EXCO, sometimes say if all departments are doing the same, then we'd have a properly clean run where our DG asks, there's an HR report, there's a finance report in terms of government, every department. And one has hooked on the side that is standard in terms of how government engages with itself. Now, broadly in terms of why now, the numbers and the answer to honorable Isaac's questions are wrong. I think maybe I should wait for him to come back to just explain the process as we understand it from where we sit. Now, again, the question is who advises the presidency, who takes, I mean, those unfortunately are questions that members may want to engage themselves. Yeah, now, in terms of the process that we engage, section 1, 2, or 3.2 of the constitution is clear and provides money and how money should be withdrawn from the National Revenue Fund. And section 34.1a and 1.3 of the PFMA outlines procedures that should be followed for authorizing and unauthorized expenses as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. And this is one process. One other important factor that the issues that members are asking, details of those went through a Select Committee on Public Accounts in more detail, where the departments themselves obviously account directly to SCOPA, obviously with our recommendation. I understand what Honorable Chair is saying around some of the broad things that part dealt with in differently, and that the other committees might obviously be okay in terms of where the issues are. In relation to violent rules, the violent is a regulated process as to where and how you can make violent. So now, to via from other programs to the social grants program, obviously if you violate in a program, then the authorization of that is delegated to me as a DG in public finance, where I can authorize the department to via within. But between different boards, it's an appropriation process, and Parliament should obviously. So the violent rules and the process are regulated, and the strict regulations that govern it. The state of social grants, I think, if you remember, provinces, SASA was not there before, provinces used to budget for social grants, and the over and under spending was an issue at a vertical division of revenue process where we engage provinces at the level of budget council to budget appropriately for grants. And now if there's need in some cases for payback or break pay to some provinces, could be as a result of where the projections as presented were in not in favor based on the numbers for particular provinces. And that's why I think based on those years, there was need in some cases to actually make sure that some provinces are compensated for the kind of projections they were paid at the time. So, but what one can do, one member,
guideline is to make sure that we can, through our parliamentary office, kind of give you further details of that question, and we can give you more facts around what exactly the back pay meant of the 166 million. So let's do that. How seriously do we take quarterly reports? I think for us it's a tool that we continue to use, and not only use it for ourselves, but also for Parliament. The quarterly report, Section 22 of the PFMA, we publish on a quarterly basis, and reports available, score reports. But it is up to Parliament to call us with the department to appear before Parliament, to engage and ask, answer questions. So whenever there are shortcomings that we see, the appropriate thing obviously to do is to bring it to Parliament's attention, and that's what I think we should continuously do. But the reality is that Parliament should hold both the departments and ourselves accountable for sending. And I think one thing that we've been saying and will continue to say is that the Parliament, if they must call us, we will be more than ready to come with the department on a specific matter and have an opportunity to drill further all the issues around our spending, and accountability can then be properly located to the right department. And I'm happy that the explanation around this way was explained, and I'm not going to try and engage more with that. Now, yes, one agrees as a principle that both issues that we picked up in GDR, in women, in presidency, is budget management or financial management gone wrong, if you think about it. If I've got a loan that came as a result of whatever process, and I cannot pay it, and to a point where it becomes an issue where I leave the department, or I die, or my estate is random off without having been access to the money that you owe me, then there's something that tells us it's management or public finance management gone wrong in a department. And these are things we are still on ongoing, because I said initially that we will continue preaching to departments in ensuring that public funds are managed in an appropriate manner. Now, page 5 of the grant, okay, I dealt with the question. Yes, honestly, I did answer the question, is there progress and the understanding of a cash flow statement, the understanding of using IYM as a tool, as a management tool. That is something that we do. Now, around the question around the work that we do, I think the work that Secretary does is endorsed by Cabinet in a way where we should reinforce the work that Cabinet is demanding of around ensuring proper fiscal management that we're doing. And DPME as a department, if you in the 1990s and early 2000s, what we did, we tried to do two things at the same time. We will interact with quarterly reports, we will interact with strategic plans, because there's a particular date that department should submit a particular strategic plan by. Coupled with that, one of the reform agendas that we introduced was infrastructure budgeting and infrastructure reporting. So you find that sometime in the year, would as departments, based on your infrastructure plan, you are reporting after 6 months that you have built this road. This road, yes, you need budget for it properly. It is supposed to be, route P59 in current X, costing so many millions, and 100 kilometers. And in 6 months' time, you're reporting to us that you have spent 50% of the money, and assuming that 50% of the road built. 1 year, what we did in 2003, in December, we took a team of officials in the Treasury, we asked them to prolong their stay in the system for a year, and they mustn't take leave. We hired 4x4s, get into our caps and cooler bags without alcohol. We went onto the road. What we did that year, Honorable Mansour is that we call the provincial treasury, we call the infrastructure people in the provincial treasury, and then we call the department concerned. If it was road, the road seven must be there, including the school, if education, if there was a school building program in this plan. We agreed on a program. I remember driving through the eastern and northwest and through Northern Cape, based on a route that takes us through roads that have been built, hospitals that have been built, and schools that have been built. Now, this was just a one-stop thing that we did to prove that what the departments were reporting is not in line with actual on the ground. So if we drive on a road that's supposed to be 90% complete as per the financial, report that is submitted on a quarterly basis, you drive for 30 kilometers and you start doing gravel and we stop. And everyone comes out of the car and call each other and say, you are Department of Transport in front of X. You signed off, this is its nature, it should be, or whoever is responsible. But this road is complete. It is not. What happened here? So in that way, one expects, and once we did that once or twice those years, a discipline started coming to the system in terms of proper actual reporting. And then DPME in the later years was born in its current form. So DPME, we are working closely with them. They are also setting themselves, as we all know, it's not an easy thing, as we all know how it happened between 1997 and 1998 up to today. It was not as easy in terms of embarking on a reform agenda, that of budget reform agenda, improvement in public financial management, implementation of the Ministry of Finance, implementation of the PMA. It hasn't been an easy road, if you think about it. Now, this is on a budgeting finance management side. On a monitoring side, we know it's not going to be an easy road. Where the department is finding its fit, where the department has to be based in the current existing legal framework, position itself to assist us or complement us in our work. But I'm confident of the kind of work that we do, Chair. We've concerned ourselves on the quantitative side around finances, but the qualitative around value for money, ensuring that their pool is there. You recall those who are from Mpumalanga. In that one of those years, there was a bridge, if I remember very well, it was 22 million. It was a bridge in the middle of nowhere. The same photo, yes, I hope you know the same. This bridge is a bridge. There's no river running underneath. There's no road. And there's no, it's in the middle, you just drive and you see the bridge. And now, two of those bridges, that's what you picked up. Now, all I'm trying to demonstrate to members is that these issues, yes, they are minute in the way that, how can a person not recover? But there are much bigger, or at the time, there were much bigger issues in the first 10 years of our democracy to deal with. And I was fortunate that I've been in the system from 98, 99, and by 7, 8, when all of these things happened, we were just starting to find our feet. And I'm not defending my colleagues in this department. We were just finding our feet. Team finance, which is then at the time, team finance budget council was finding its feet in making sure that we pull together. And in the third phase of our democracy, if you think about it, then most people started leaving, and new ones came in. Our financial needs took a dip. But because of our legal regulatory arrangements and our legal positioning, our finances was almost tight. We are fully in easily. But it's not easy. I deal with all national departments on an ongoing basis, in fact, including their entities, every day. And what is easy, and as what we've seen here, departments still face challenges around the kind of skill base, and this is continuous. And as a new democracy, I think what I've begun, and most of us in the Treasury believe, it is an important thing to take colleagues along in other departments each and every step. And that's why we have kind of now, with the team that we have now, especially the team that is of the national department, because the reform agenda, if you think about it, happened in municipalities and provinces. Now, if you speak to people like Ismail Momonia, who you head of public finance and intergovernmental relations, Kenneth Bang, the current DG, all of us were in what is called intergovernmental relations side. The national department side was focused on policy. The financial management was lagging in terms of improvement and in terms of rigorous monitoring the first hangers of our democracy. It's only now in the last 5 years, including now, that we are moving at great speed to try and partner or make it at the same equal level. The oversight by Treasury, oversight on financial management over departments, national departments, compared to oversight of provincial departments, which is a bit high up there. Because at your level, I think when you engage, you see that. When you engage with national departments in Treasury and these kind of issues, compared to when you have to engage with issues around provinces. Provinces, it's like a machine. Because that division, the way you Treasury opted to embark on reforms, was more focused on financial management and so on. Or because 97-98 financial year, Department of Education, Health, Social Development came huge, huge deficits. 14 education departments making 14 or so, 18 health departments making becoming one was not an easy task. So focus was on there. And I always characterize this and say, 15 years of our democracy, the first 15 years was that, the next 15 years should be this. And building institutions, which informs us on a moving basis, is dealing with these issues on an ongoing basis. And I think I can comfortably say we in the Treasury to have the issues that we are saying to you and open up and saying this is how it is. When we went to SCOPA, we were more than open because we were a full team, people that deal with this department, explaining the details of each of these things. So, Chair, I'm happy that with your help, you are able to actually give me more confidence that committee is also engaged and worried about the issues as reflected in this report. And these are issues that we'll continue to take seriously and make sure that we go on the other side clearer so that we don't have to deal with this kind of finance deal in future. Thank you.
Also, early next year we continue this process, our process, especially until the minister tables the budget. So, the questions were useful. I did it, and something that we have got to work on in the department. Okay, Honorable Chair, that's a passing shot. I allow you. Is there anyone who wants to raise something and leave with a question, Honorable Lema?
No, I would say we've got a clarity of all here. Can you move
forward? Oh, you want to accelerate me?
Yeah.
I like it when it comes from that, Honorable Lema. Now I'll change gear. Thank you very much. Thanks, DDG, for the briefings. Honorable Member, we really agree that it was a useful exercise on the finance deal and also on the BRICS development bank. So this will enable us, Honorable Members, that when the National Assembly passes the adjustment budget, if they change drastically, well, we'll call the National Treasury for another exercise. If they don't, this lays basis for us to adopt our, to discuss our adoption of our report on Friday morning. We have requested that after the meeting of the finance on Friday, we immediately will constitute the appropriations meeting to consider the reports, both of the adjustment bill for adoption. Now, the last item on our agenda, the third item on our agenda, not the last, is the Select Commission appropriation, the Division of Revenue and Conditional Grant Allocation to Provincial and Local Spheres of Government, as contained 2015 Medium Term Budget Policy Statement. There's a distinction, members, slightly, that yesterday we were dealing with the Division of Revenue report, the bill, to the House. Now, this is much more elaborate in terms of the issues that we've had during meetings, briefings from Treasury. So this report emanates from series of briefings that we've had. If you want, that's also if like, we can go straight to the observations and the recommendations of what this report is.
That's in order.
And then that I'll ask if it's okay, Honorable Sir.
I just did some rubber stamps from order. If you want to check with the procedure and guide me. Is it correct for us now, as we sit here, is it correct for us, as we some guidance from you, is it right for us, procedurally, to consider this draft report here, right now, or do we have to wait for certain processes to first take place? I just need to be guided. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Isaac, we take note of the question, we'll come back to respond. Okay. Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, I take serious care. Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, I
can. I'm taking serious offense. You know, these guys must respect me. My surname is Gila, not the other skin.
Okay. Thanks.
I sincerely apologize, and I withdraw profusely, unconditionally.
I just want to respond to
this. This is just rubber stamping. If you don't become in front of my fear.
Okay, can I answer me?
I just want to emphasize on the end that the fact that we said we must go straight to renegations and things. Also, the basis that this report was presented to us is a truth that it took over. And we have it was closer. We had officials, we have asked for procedures, we have asked for discussions that honorable has because these are our staff. So we can't really check and say, do respect the delay in this meeting by coming to explain to Peter and all that, that as an honorable member would have done. As an honorable member of the staff to understand those processes. We're not responsible for him really to delay this issue.
Thanks, okay. Let me try to mediate the view of the honorable members. Honorable members, the question raised by Honorable Isaac. Honorable Isaac, I think this report, this one is a committee report. Based on a series of briefings that we have had after the hearing of the MCBPS. For instance, it raised the issues on what are priorities that William Tem spelled out. It tells us about the division of revenue 2016-17, 2017-18, and 2018-19. It gives that projection of how we will proceed. It also talks on the conditional grant funding. The reforms, I think earlier National Register raised the reforms, which conditional grants must do away with, which conditional grants must reconfigure and so forth. And the local government conditional grant funding. It also talks on the higher education now. You recall we had a joint meeting on higher education, presentation by both the department and the Council for Higher Education captures on those issues. So now as a committee now, this report captures really part time of the work that we've been doing for the period since the MTVPS. So the recommendations, the observation is what will arise out of presentations that we noted and also what we recommend moving forward in terms of the expenditure, medium-term expenditure priorities. So members, I think let me allow the content advisor just to sum on the observations, carry out good observation, because it will make us to make a correction of the sum of the report and the recommendations. Yes, on all this,
if I may, before you, so the, you know, if you just turn to the back page, page 10 of the draft report. Page 10, right at the back there.
Yes.
And it just says very clearly, 8.4, having considered the 2015 medium-term budget policy statement and submissions made by stakeholders, this committee reports that it has agreed to the proposed division of revenue and provisional grant allocations to provincial and local government as contained in the new 2015 medium-term budget policy statement. All I was raising, with due respect, I was asking, is it procedurally correct for us to consider it now, today, at this point in time? That's all I'm asking for guidance on.
Oh, yes, that's procedurally correct. To consider it today because it is leaving in the house tomorrow. It must go in the house tomorrow. It must be sitting in the house tomorrow as I am advised by the programming
committee. So can you proceed?
No, I don't think that's correct. But anyway,
if you have to do what you have to do, let me at this point examine and say that on my own behalf, that is myself and Honorable Blanche behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I'd like to point out to you that at this point in time, we don't see procedurally correct unless we can correct it accordingly. And based on that, you know, we don't want to lodge over certain minority reports, etc. So I'm just making it very clear, putting it on record within a few minutes. Thank you, sir.
Let's allow the advocate to deal with this issue, we'll deal with the observations, because if we do not change, if there are no material changes, we will not say that we be correct to consider this draft here and make a decision as a committee. Advocate, can you summarize on the observations and the recommendations of the committee?
First
change.
The observations are captured on page 8 under item 7. There is the medium-term expenditure priorities under 7.1, and then there is a paragraph to that effect. I will not read it, Chair, because the report has been circulated. And 7.2 captures the public expenditure challenges. And under this item, the items 721, 722, 723. And then the third point is the proposed division of the revenue. And under this item, 731, 732, 734 captures all the issues that have been addressed under this item. And then 7.4 is proposed reforms of provincial commercial grants. Under this item, there is only one paragraph in reference to provinces. 7.5 refers to proposed reforms for local government conditional grants. There are about four issues that are picked up there because they refer to different grants. Now, the recommendation, which is item number 8, are categorized into three categories to reflect the main issues. Now, instead of repeating each of the sub-issues, there is a main paragraph that captures all the issues under medium-term expenditure priorities, with the main issue being funding for education. And then there is public expenditure challenges. There is a recommendation to National Treasury, which deals with the need for the Treasury to strengthen its monitoring and support mechanism. And lastly, it is the proposed division of revenue. One of the issues that were raised under this item is where provinces and municipalities were feeling that they are not benefiting from the current form. And the recommendation is to National Treasury to, on a regular basis, review its application of the equitable share for the revenue formula, in order to address challenges such as shortfalls in provinces to cover employee compensation costs and pressing needs for municipalities to sustain the provision of free basic services with the current rising electricity costs, water shortages, and population growth. Now, 8.4, Chapter 10, it is a draft resolution of the committee if the committee adopts the report. If the committee does not adopt the report, this paragraph will be adopted. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Members. That's why I tried to say earlier, the Division of Revenue Bill was adopted yesterday, was approved yesterday. Now we deal with a committee report based on the MCVPS process. Series of issues emanating from our briefings. So, Honourable Members, any comment on the areas that we're discussing? Honourable Tashupi?
I don't have any comment because I've gone through this report as it was emailed. Mm-hmm. However, I need to say, at some point in the history of this country, we had a government of national unity. And at some point, the national party decided to withdraw from the government of national unity. And we circulated a document entitled Shere said, with or without the national party, the people shall govern. Now, with or without, I'm proposing that this committee adopt this report. Because I don't have any comment.
Okay, then there's a mover that we have the report around here.
Yeah, the honourable member who's writing history. I can still see the posters on the lamp, all the time is now. Chairperson, I second that proposal, but I want to sensitize members to page 2 of the report. There's a block. That is a summary of this whole document. That's what it actually is. And this concludes the process we started on the 22nd of October in the tabling of into BBF and the briefing we refer to the result. This is the conclusion of that process. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Yes, honorable members, I think once more, if you reread this report, you'll find out that, and read this report also in conjunction with presentation that we've been previous. You will realize that this is a very actual report that captures on the work of our committee. So the report, there's been a mover and a seconder, and so the report is adopted, is approved. Honorable Isaac, we note you that Honorable Terrell Blanche does not support the report, or you reserve the right to reconsider after you have verified yourself. Because there is no minority report here. This report
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's clear.
So you still
abstain? Yeah, we reserve our right.
You don't say anything?
No,
before or again?
We reserve our right.
No, what does that mean? Are you in support of the report?
We are not sure we reserve our right.
Okay, you are not sure whether you say
you reserve our right. Then just come back.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thank you very much.
What point was Honorable Mutla Shukin on this?
No, don't tell that. Honorable Shukin makes this remark.
You make this remark.
Honorable Mutla Shukin makes this remark. Thank you very much. Honorable members, this report is approved and the report will make a report to the House on the Division of Revenue and Conditional Grant Allocation to Provincial and Local CF of Government. As contained in a medium-term budget policy statement. Thank you very much. Thank you, National Treasury. The last part we deal with minutes, so we can release you. Yes, minutes. 13 October, minutes.
Now that you've finished, I just want to double-check. Are we going to maybe do it after the minutes, or maybe we'll do it now? I'm not sure. I'd just like you to clarify this for everybody's sake, so that we understand the program. In court, right?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. No. Thank you, honorable members. If you want to take water and tea, yeah, you please welcome to can take a cup of coffee. And so far, this meeting has been proceeding very peacefully. Honorable Mr. King and Honorable Mr. please don't spoil the proceedings here. I think that I really enjoy your engagement. So, let's deal with the minute of the 13th of October. Honorable Kaila, you were present in that meeting. Yes, the first page, attendance, is noted, members that were in attendance. Oversight report, that was the report on KwaZulu-Natal. This report has already been in the House. Yeah. Proposed. Honorable Sir, you. Thank you very much. Let's go to the second set of minutes.
You will not be able to meet.
23 October, Honorable Zimane. First page, absent was Honorable Gaira. No, there was a reason, I think.
Right?
He always, Honorable Gaira is always part of our
meeting.
Introduction, National Treasury presented on the adjustment budget, that's what we have got to do again. You know, there's always a first time by it, and then we always go back. So can I have an indication for the Treasury adjustment budget? Honorable members, these are two reflections. Honorable Tashubi moves, and then Honorable Idier second. 27 October, written by Budget Office on William Penn Budget Policy Statement, Dr. Lydia is here, so if you doubt, he was there, she was there. If you don't know, you can't remember what did she say, and ask her what did she say on that. So, introduction, Honorable Isaac moves. Honorable Tashubi is on the 28th of October. I forgot that you guys are not accelerated. Okay. On the 28th, first day, Honorable Gaira, you were present. Honorable Didier was absent and delayed is absent.
I move.
Okay.
Correction.
Yes.
Also passed during the public hearing.
Oh,
you have to
leave, yeah, okay. It must appear as if, yeah, members have to be right, yeah. Oh, the message statement, thank you very much, Honorable. 4th November, hearing on MCVCS on hybrid, it was a joint meeting, Honorable members. I was there, very interesting meeting with Honorable Isaac. That's when other members were not there on the day, yeah. So you move, Honorable Sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So when you move this one, you accept that report.
No. I think
that's fine. But it's the same with the report. Now it makes me to reopen the discussion of the report.
We're going through the minutes of what was presented.
Yes. No, now we must open the discussion on the report. Because no, I don't like contradictory remarks.
Yeah, no, apples.
Okay. No, these are apples. Apples and okay. The report is seconded. Honorable Isaac seconded.
Wait,
and I mentioned, oh, moves. He has moves. Honorable Gaira second. 17 November, Division of Revenue Amendment, negotiating money. Fresh is what you still remember it, Honorable Member. It's not long time. Honorable Motashiki was absent.
I was not absent.
You are not present when you apologize.
I'm moving.
You will be absent.
Okay. I move.
Honorable Zimande moves. Honorable Zimande, you are present. This is now when you have your hand. Welcome to the meeting. Honorable Zimande. Honorable Zimande moves. Who second? Honorable Didier second. Yesterday, 1 minute another day.
19
November. Considering of final Monday, and draft report on Division of Revenue Amendment, consideration of draft minutes. Honorable Dr. Blanche, the meeting of the 19th. The minutes, okay, this minute is on consideration of negotiating Monday. Remember the meeting was
what I was with you heard, so
yeah,
I move.
Honorable Zimande moves. Honorable, who is the Honorable Dr. Seko? Honorable Didier second. And this is the last set of minutes, Honorable Members. Thank you very much. And then I think I'll allow the Chair of Finance to get indication on the program of the committee between now until the House, until we arrive. Yeah, we'll do it next week in our meeting. Yeah, next week in our meeting. Honorable members, but thanks very much for... Honorable members.
Who are those members?
Honorable members, just before Honorable DJ speaks, Thank you very much for processing this matter for the agenda today. The adjustment budget, which is considered by the NDA today, we will go into the formal stage of our committee on what we have received just reading today on Friday, and also deal with the Greeks Bank amendment, part of the adjustment.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just want to...
On Friday.
I want to thank you. Today you said like the son of Mohai.
Yes, the son of Mohai. Thank you very much. No, I always act like the son of Mohai. Thank you very much. I also appreciate your role today. You really have been very kind, honorable members. I know you this way. I must say, given how you are. Thanks very much. No, that's nothing new that has happened in my life. Well, it's just that this month is my birthday month. There's nothing big about it. So, yeah. Honorable GDS, I think now I must stop in bus.
In fact, three members of the committee with witnesses are this month.
Yes.
The chairperson, myself, and Honorable Lewis,
yes,
which is tomorrow.
Right. Honorable members, I share the day, on the 8th of November, when he's doing a day with Honorable Kaila. We share the day. Yeah, so it's not, we are not hostile to one another. He's elder. Okay. No, Kaila, we share the day. Yeah, so. Honorable
Dibir. Thank you very much. We had a program meeting this morning which I attended. Although I'm not an official member of the committee program, we were dealing with preparations and finance legislation. And that's why I attended. Tomorrow morning, Thursday the 26th of November, there's a plenary at 08:30. So you have to take the early bus. 08:30 is the plenary. And there's a lot of reports as well as legislation that we will be dealing with. Then we go to Friday. Alright. Starting at 8:30?
Sorry, we're talking tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow 8:30.
What is the report?
When you get to your office in the morning, go down to the basement, lower ground, step into that office, and you ask for the papers. It's all.
Yeah.
And they put it in your hands and make a U-turn and you go back to your office. Simple as that. And then you read it. I'm not going to read it for you. You read it yourself. Yeah, I did it the past 14 days with the strike. I did it everything.
Let me help you.
I can cool down there in the lower
ground.
And then also tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the address by the His Excellency the President, the SUP, that debate. The 14 hours plenary of tomorrow falls away. It falls away. On Friday morning at 09:30, as ATC, that it is, 09:30 in this venue, we will be dealing with the taxation laws and different bills. You can use your GPS as well. The two taxation laws have been proposed in this venue. The concentration of staff will take us through the briefing. On that subject, last Thursday and Friday, I received by email the package on the bills. Although Mohai received it also by email, I want you to go and check matters if you receive it. If you didn't receive it, contact the case. Why am I asking this question?